It's our privilege this morning to have Ken and Karen and Benson with us. They're serving the church in a new strategic ministry, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, because they are. But they spent 13 years in Portugal, learned the Portuguese language, and they were very instrumental in our sister church at Gormley finding a new pastor. Now, I'm sure when they came back to Canada that they had no idea that God would use them to help call a pastor to Canada from Portugal. But God in His sovereignty did that. We had a picture and write-up on our board out there of him, the new pastor, Mr. Pasquale, meeting one of the counselors in Richmond Hill. And so he got some special exposure in terms of that, and he's working on learning the English language and culture as he goes along, and Ken and Carolyn have promised to help him with that. Now, a couple more things. One of the things that always impresses me about a family is how their children live. And Ken and Carolyn have two wonderful girls who we first met when they were very small. I remember them speaking on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, in the basement of Banfield Memorial Church. They quoted scripture, they could speak well, they could sing. And God, of course, has caused them to grow up, and they have ministries and worship and other things and are serving God with a faithful heart. And we're always thankful to the Lord that God prepares the next generation to be servants of the Lord as well. So I should say a very special thank you to you, Carolyn, I guess. Mothers often have a larger responsibility. I'm sure that Ken was right there along with them as well. Now, one other little thing that I found out at a funeral a number of years ago. I was at the funeral for my wife's mother. And lo and behold, Ken Benson comes to the funeral. And I said after the funeral, "Ken, I'm surprised that you're here. How would you know Lil Greer, who is Joanne's mother, Joanne Reed's mother?" And I found out that Lil Greer had a very important part to play in the spiritual journey of Ken Benson. And we are honored to have a veteran missionary and a devoted servants of the Lord Jesus to come and share with us this morning, Ken and Carolyn.
Thanks, Barry. We want to say a very big thank you to you as a congregation for your support for us financially and in prayers for the last 13 years. And God has been very merciful to us and allowed us many rich experiences in our journey. And my heart is attached here at Markham in a special way, as Pastor Barry mentioned, with Joanne Reed being here this morning. And there's other of you that have known me prior to being a missionary, having grown up in Gormley, and graduating from Stovall High School. Some of our paths have crossed many times. And, of course, my mom has sung here in the Christmas choir on several occasions and has enjoyed that ministry as well here amongst you. And I believe my father was even here in the construction phase of the church. He helped Carl Timbers, I believe, excavating for the gymnasium. And my dad used to be a surveyor, and so he'd hold the stick and Carl had moved the dirt, and they were good friends and played a part here during that phase of the church's history. So our lives have intertwined along the way. And this morning we look forward to sharing where God has led us in the last few years and in that specific ministry in our transition from Portugal back to Canada. My mom's health and other family dynamics required us to make a transition back here to Canada. And we were saying, "Lord, what's next?" And it was through a number of circumstances that we became aware of the ministry called Cross Training Global. And Cross Training Global is a ministry that is involved in training missionaries to go overseas. And it happens here in Toronto in a very practical way. And we will describe that more in detail as we go. But before we do that, Carolyn is going to give you a little update on where some of our family have gone.
Good morning. I just like to share, as we made the transition back to Canada, it was one of the most challenging decisions in our lives. It ranked right up there with one of the most challenging. But one of the verses that the Lord really used to encourage us was from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, it's coming here, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may be overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we were making the decision, we sensed the Lord calling us back to Canada to help here in Canada. And we didn't know, we were teachers in the past, but we knew that the teaching profession was hard to get into when you're this side, the other side of 50. And so we said, Lord, what next? And thank the Lord, we have a God of hope, that we can trust that he's a faithful God. And we surrendered to his will, and the Lord brought along this opportunity for Cross Training Global. We sensed that we could use our past teaching experience as well as our years on the mission field, and we're counted a great privilege to be involved in this Cross Training Global ministry. It wasn't easy to say goodbye to our group in Portugal, our little group, here they are, and as we were sharing with them the news, they had been praying for our time in Canada. We had been back on a home ministry assignment. And as we shared our decision, they were comforting us, and they knew the Portuguese are all about family. It's a very high value. And so they knew that was the Lord's leading for us to come back to Portugal. And this past summer, Ken was able to go back to our camping ministry and help out with the boot camp, the leadership time, just before the camp began. Here's our team and the youth that were there this summer. And it was encouraging for him to go back and to see the way the young adults, the 10-year-olds, that when we were involved in ministry at the beginning of this camping ministry, are now young adults and are leading the camp. And just a great opportunity to witness that, and to see how the youth center that they run and the youth clothing store that they began is going well back there. It's not easy back in Portugal. They're struggling financially, as you know, the economic crisis. And so we pray for them. But the Lord opened up this opportunity for the Pascoal family to come from Portugal, which was just a miracle and a long story. But here they are, the Pascoal family. And we're thankful for them. They're serving at Gormley Missionary Church right now. And it's an opportunity for us to maintain our strong connection with Portugal. So pray for them as you think about it. Ruth is learning Portuguese, and we're helping them.
Learning English.
And we're helping support them to get to know the culture of Canada. We'll just back up a little bit. These are our girls, Charity and Kara. They graduated from Tyndale, and now Charity is working in the area of social work, supporting foster care families. And Kara has just graduated from Teachers College and is going to be working as a teaching assistant on call until she can get a teaching job. And then our Angolan girls, who lived with us for 4 years over in Portugal, they are just, Isabel on the left has finished her degree in Portugal and has gone back to her family in Angola and has just been able to get a job. And Claudia is finishing up her degree in Portugal and will probably finish this year. So we're very thankful for them too. We call them our adopted daughters. Anyway, so this is the wonderful ministry that God gave us in Portugal. And we just want to, again, echo what Ken said about being thankful for your support and your prayers over the years. And before Ken comes to share more about our ministry in Portugal, I asked a few volunteers if they could just come forward. We just have a little activity to introduce what the value of a missionary training program. And so I'd like you to participate this morning. As we do this little activity up front, I'd like you to be thinking about how this relates to missionaries crossing cultures. Okay, so just a little activity. I want you to be able to afterwards participate in sharing what you think. Okay, so we're going to get in a little circle here around the mat. And I'm going to begin with an object. I'm going to throw it to Tyler.
We'll give you.
Okay, thank you.
Andrew can throw it to someone else. We're all always going to throw it in the same pattern, okay? So I throw to Tyler. Tyler?
To Matt. Okay, Matt to Sam. Sam to Elena. And Elena to Roger, and Roger back to me. Okay, so now we're going to watch how this goes.
Spread out, Carolyn. Not too easy. They're cheating.
Well, they did a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you. I told them it was okay to drop things if you wanted. That was part of the plan. So what are some of the things that can that relate to missionaries crossing cultures from that little activity? Just shout it out if you can think of something, and I'll echo it. Confusion, that's spoken from a true missionary. Exactly, confusion. Missionaries go overseas and there's so many things coming at you, so many unknowns and different things. It's confusing. Sometimes you do drop the balls or drop the objects, drop the things that you're supposed to be doing. Anything else? Say again. Multitasking, excellent, exactly. And someone else had something.
Coordination,
you need to be able to coordinate things, that's right. Anything else?
Teamwork,
exactly.
Frustration,
exactly.
Being out of your
element, right on.
Trust.
Great.
Uncertainty.
Yes.
You saw when
I started to introduce the next
object, he said,
oh no.
That's right.
Difficulty in
communicating.
Yes, I
was having to
call my
person, Tyler,
each time because
I wanted his
eye contact.
And so
you saw how the group
tried to
cope with
having to
juggle all these
balls.
And we were able
to do a lot more
things together
as a
team
than we
would have been able
to separately
as an individual.
So those
are all good things.
Thank you so
much for your
participation.
And
it just
shows you
the value
and the importance
of
a training
program to
prepare people
to cross
cultures.
And in
the past,
there hasn't
been a lot of
training programs.
We were sent
down
to, if you
can believe it,
California,
because there was
nothing in
Canada at
the time
that we were
preparing to go to
Portugal.
And our
training program
was an
experiential program
where we actually
lived
in a little
Portuguese
community in
California
and had
to do exercises
related to our
coursework
to learn
how to cross
cultures.
And so
when we heard about
Cross Training
Global,
We really
caught the
vision because
that's how we had
been trained and we
could see the benefit
and the value.
And
Cross Training
Global was
instigated by
Bible
college professors
and mission
agency
directors
who
saw the
need
for
increasing
the longevity
of
missionaries
on overseas
on the field,
as
well as
just
the quality of
experience.
And so
we just could
catch the vision
for what
Cross Training Global
could be here in
Toronto
with all the
different
multi-ethnic
groups
we have here in
Toronto. So
Ken's going to come
back
and share
more about
God's
plan for
the nations,
the
unfinished
blessing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carolyn. Carolyn always loves games. Our house is always full of games, Carolyn. So he's trying to get us to do funny things. So you guys were blessed by that special gift she has. As she was saying, the topic this morning is called the unfinished blessing, and that comes from a passage in. Well, first of all, before we start on that scripture verse, one of my goals this morning is to talk to you about the big picture. Often when we talk about missions, we talk about what's happening in the local church or what mission one missionary is doing in one particular country. But this morning, including our description of Cross Training Global, we'd also like to give you an overview of what God's doing in the world. The big picture is important. Who could, from this small item, imagine what the big picture is? Cassette tape. Somebody's old enough to see a cassette tape. That's right. Those are things, if you're not old enough, they used to use those a long time ago. How about this one? Can opener. Wow, spoken by a lady for sure. That's right. Important implement for the kitchen. How about that one? Glasses. Good. Boy, you guys are good at getting the big picture. How about this one? Lego. Oh, that's a good one, but it's not Lego. But I'll tell you later. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. That's to keep you awake, so you'll listen till the end, okay? Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3 are the verses that we call the big picture of missions. It's when God spoke to Abraham, and he spoke in this way. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That is why we're talking about the unfinished blessings, because at the end of that it says, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The blessing has not flowed into all the corners of the earth yet. And so the unfinished task is for us to continue the blessing that God wants us to do. We can see that there's a direct connection between this and then when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Just like God had spoken to Abraham that it would be a blessing to all the nations, all the peoples, the same word in the Greek is used in both passages when they translated the Hebrew into Greek in the Old Testament. They used the same word. So from every nation, tribe, people, and language before the throne is also a New Testament passage that was revealed. That God's plan wasn't just for Israel. It was intended for the larger process. However, some people say, well, that task has already been done. There's 205 nations in the United Nations Council, and we know that there's believers in every one of those nations. And one of the prophecies Jesus said was that he would return when the gospel had spread to every nation. And so some people believe that. And if we look at a map like this, we can tell how we have a record of Christians living in all those countries in Africa, as well as the other countries in the world, some more than others. However, we believe that the term all nations is referring to ethnic peoples. The Greek word there is referring to small groups. So if you really look at Africa and look at the ethnic groups and how they are laid out, this is what God sees. His political map is different than our political map. And so you can see the complexity of a continent and where different peoples live is much more complex than what we do with our political boundaries. And so now we use the term unreached peoples or least reached peoples term to refer to some of those small groupings where the gospel has still not penetrated. And there are several of those. But there are some good news that is happening. Since 1500, you start to see a scale here of the Bible translation that starts to happen after the 1500s. And it starts to climb quite steeply. What happened in the 1500s that made that large change? The printing press. That's right, the Gutenberg press. Around 1500s started to happen. It was the stimulus that caused the Reformation to happen because the complaints that Luther made against the Catholic Church were able to be spread a lot further because of the printing press. And so that was one of the things that has caused the Bible to get into more people's hands. Another encouraging sign. Do you realize that the Jesus film was released in 1990, and now there has been 6,500, and that is million people, or else 6.5 billion viewing of the Jesus film. That doesn't mean that how many people saw it, but that's how many times it's been demonstrated, and obviously some people have seen it more than once. So the number of people that have been exposed to the story of Jesus has increased in an exponential way and has made a major impact on the world. Christian radio broadcasting now covers at least 91% of the world's population. Incredible. Where the gospel can't even go with people, there are airwaves and air transmissions that are getting the gospel into places that people still can't get to. Here is a report on the status of various faiths in the world. Buddhism, 1.3%, Hinduism, 1.2%, Islam, 1.9%, Evangelicals, 2.6%, and all Christians, 1.2%. This is rate of growth, and not absolute values. And so this is incredible when we realize how quickly the gospel is growing. And often Islam is said to be growing faster than Christianity, but it's not true. Evangelicals are major growth in the world, and Islam is growing not much faster than its population that happens because of birth. Their evangelistic program, although is becoming more determined, is not gaining the grounds that the media sometimes wants to suggest. Another encouraging sign is that the center of Christianity is moving south. There's been 300 million people in the last 10 years that have come to know Christ below the equator. That is a lot of people, a lot of growth. 290 million are from developing countries like Nigeria, Brazil, India, and China. Here, the circle on the left shows you at 1900, the purple side of this is 79% are from the white community. But now, 2005, just a little over 100%, or 100 years, are now 34% of the Christian family. And so you can see that the growth rates in other areas other than the white community where it's dominated for quite a while is now shifting. So that's why we say that the center of Christianity is now below the equator. Some encouraging signs from the Philippines. 1975, 3,000 churches. 2005, 30 years later. 55,000 churches. 2010, they expect to send out over 10,000 cross-cultural workers into the 1040 window in the next 15 years as tent-making missionaries. Incredible growth in the Philippine church. China, as you've heard, 1948, less than 1 million believers. 2010, upwards of 125 million believers. Over 12,000 new Chinese believers every day. Estimated missionaries sent by various countries over the next 15 to 20 years. Latin America wants to send 21,000 missionaries. Nigeria alone wants to send 15,000 into the 1040 window. The Philippines, 10,000. Chinese, 50,000. Koreans, 30,000. These are some of the encouraging statistics of where the church is growing and the aggressiveness of the evangelical church south of the equator is really quite remarkable. However, there is a but in this story. There are some bad news. The total number of people groups that we have in the world that are still unreached are 6,900 out of 16,700. So there's still lots of work to go in those little squares I showed you of Africa. These are one of the ones, or some of the ones of the 6,900 that still haven't heard about Jesus. Other things is that there are more Christians have been martyred in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined. It costs to follow Jesus. Here's the least reached people are in the least accessible countries. So you can see those major dots are the unreached groups by population, and they're in difficult countries to get into. And the population challenge, you can look, 1820, there's only 1 billion people, and now, 2011, we're over 7 billion people. So the population is growing so quickly, and you can see the time range. It keeps getting smaller and smaller for 1 billion people to be added to the number. So there's still 2.8 billion people that haven't heard about the gospel. It also appears that North America is losing its vision to send missionaries. Here's a bar. This is Canadian statistics. 3,000, I forget what this number, this is the number of full-time missionaries from Canada in 1992 serving in various countries. And now, in 2005, we're 2,000. So we've lost 33% in the last 15 years. So we're not growing as Canadians in sending missionaries. The mission field is changing. We need to send different types of missionaries these days, but there's still a great need to do those types of ministries in helping our brothers and sisters reach the world for Jesus. Now, if you're interested in cross-cultural ministry, how would you prepare? This is where we're going to sort of make the segue into cross-training global. What types of things might you want to do in order to be prepared? A lot of mission agencies are saying the number one reason or some of the top reasons why people leave missions are because of lack of character, as in conflict that happens between missionaries, or conflict that happens within a marriage, or in some cases, moral failures. And so the character, the heart issues of some people are one of the major reasons why they don't stay long-term on the mission field. And so some of the training that we're realizing needs to involve various aspects of developing character. Cross Training Global was started 8 years ago in Calgary, and they have trained 61 students, and now 33 are involved in pursuing full-time mission involvement. Some are already on the field, but some are still in the process towards that. So the numbers are quite encouraging of the high percentage of students that end up on the field in missions. How can we train them better? As I was starting to say, we realize this is the model that we use. We realize that every missionary should know some things. Those are important knowledge functions. But there's important part of character, the heart issues. Things like perseverance, and purity, and persistence. Love, forgiveness, those are some key issues. And then there's some life skills that you need to know. Can you be a good listener? Do you have to always be right? Those are some things you don't realize until you get into conflict that you realize, oh, I always want to be right. And sometimes in missions, it's not good to be right. It's good to submit to those that you're working with. So how do we do that in our program? We're based here in Toronto. We take a student that is willing to go. So that anybody after high school is open to come to our school. It's some of the hands-on things that we do to get them involved is that we will place a person in an ethnic church. So we have students this semester that are working in a Persian church at the Bayview Glen Alliance Church. There is a Persian church that meets there. And we have one student working in that location and another student that's working in a Hispanic church in the Victoria Park area. And so there are some hands-on things they get to try to do. We teach them six various courses, so the head component we deal with. And Carolyn and I organize special speakers to come in to do that. By the end of the 4 months of training, our students have been exposed to over 20 various missionaries from different organizations to share with them, some in week-long format and some in one special topic. And so they get exposure to an incredible number of mission experts that deal with mission themes. The heart issues is involved in mentoring. And so we try to get involved in mentoring the various people in different ways. The ethnic church provides a mentor, and the international placement when they actually go after Christmas time to a country. And while they're there, they'll have a mentor on the field. And then Carolyn and I act as mentors as they interact with us on a regular basis. And so mentoring is a key component to dealing with issues of the heart and trying to help them become more like Jesus. So we work with the churches and Bible schools and mission agencies to provide an experiential approach to equip Christians for cross-cultural ministry. The mission agencies are the people that would take the students after Christmas and would place them in a country of their choice. Our one girl that is working with the Persian church, it'll probably go to Turkey, and the Hispanic student working in the Hispanic church will probably go to Colombia for 4 months after Christmas. And as I said, we're hosted by the People's Church, so they've given us some facilities to work there. And we're really blessed by their generosity to allow us to use their space for this training. Even though we are working with People's Church and we are working with Cross Training Global, we are still World Partners missionaries. And so Missionary Church will potentially send some students in the future to be part of the program as well. We thought we had some students for this fall lined up, but things changed. But Sandra Chart and ourselves are working at recruiting people for the program, either on a part-time or full-time basis. So there's different ways that you can do this. You can do this as part of a BA, because we have partnerships with four Bible schools, Prairie Bible Institute, Rocky Mountain College, Briarcrest, and Heritage here in Ontario. And so if there's any of you that would like to be interested in taking some of those courses for credit, we do have the opportunity to do it. You can do it as part-time studies where you take just one course as you have interest, or a one-year certificate, or as part of the BA, as we mentioned. Here's where some of our students have gone in the past. Anjali made friends in India. Aaron in Kosovo. Angela in Spain. Bethany in Bethlehem. Devin in Africa. These are the ones, some of the students from the past have gone to various places. I just showed them to you briefly. I want to show you the three students that we have studying with us right now. I mentioned Eunice. She is the one working in the Persian church. Would you pray for her, please? She has a real passion and a heart to communicate her faith to Muslim background people. Megan on the right. Eunice, I didn't say studies at Briarcrest, so she's doing it as part of a BA program. Megan, she's studying at Heritage, and so she's doing a part of a BA program too, and she's working in a Hispanic church and wants to go to Colombia. And then I want to challenge you with the life of Lena. Lena is retired. She's a member of the People's Church, and she's taking two courses with us. And her passion is to be able to communicate her faith to her neighbors. She realized Toronto is very multicultural. She lives in the Victoria Park and Finch area, and she is just really desiring to know how to do that better. So she's taking a course with us right this week called Cross Cultural Communications, and she's also taking one night a week with us during the fall time dealing with urban realities. And so she's a blessing to us in her enthusiasm and desire as a retired person trying to understand her world and trying to be able to communicate Christ. One of the aspects I'd just like to highlight, Eunice and Megan are living in a move-in community. How many people have heard of the move-in community? I don't know if they've been here to speak yet. Okay, you've heard of the move-in community. It is a organization here in Toronto that has identified 40 needy neighborhoods in Toronto. And they're challenging young adults specifically, but it's open to anybody to move into these communities, Christians, to communicate their faith. And so Eunice and Megan are sharing a room in at Victoria Park in Danforth, and right on the subway line. And they're in an apartment building of 28 stories, and it's made up of 90% people from Bangladesh. And so they're working or are living side by side with Muslim people, and there's people in her apartment that dedicate time to volunteer and to try to interact with the Muslims that are there in that neighborhood. And so that's called a patch. And so there's 40 patches in Toronto that they're trying to reach out. If you want to know any more about that, we can talk to you about that afterwards. Here's our class that's going on this week. Our professor is Pastor Gord, and not Pastor, Professor Gord, and he comes from Africa, flew in from Africa to teach the course and some other things, and he has an expertise in how to communicate cross-culturally. The big picture. I've gone through things pretty quickly here. The big picture here is that it was a tennis table racket. Now, we want you to be aware of the big picture, because it needs to be a motivation in our hearts that God has the big picture in mind when he's looking at his world. Cross-training is one of the ways that they can help people to get ready to go cross-culturally. We have now a new phenomenon in missions starting to happen called bammers and whammers. A bammer and a whammer is somebody that has to do business as mission. They want to go to another country, and they feel led by God to another country, and they want to open another business because they want to see if they can make an impact through business in those areas. And that is becoming a new aspect. And so we believe cross-training could be useful for people that are thinking about that as a business strategy and a way to take the gospel to another country. A whammer is work as mission, where your company transfers you to another post, to another place, and you go, oh no, I don't know what to do. I know my company wants me to go there, but maybe God has a bigger plan than just my company's desire to increase wealth. And so we would like to be open to helping people that are bammers or whammers as well. So our courses and our potential to make an impact on the world are really quite broad. How can you pray for us? We want to see more students in the next year, increase in our involvement in our courses. We wanted to start to influence more schools. We have 4 schools as partners, and we're praying for God to increase the number of schools. And one special way, if some of you or somebody here has gifts as a website manager, we have a website that needs some help, and we're looking and praying for a website manager. We're also involved in some collaboration talks with another mission, a training program here in Toronto, and we're thinking about collaborating more for the coming year, and we would appreciate prayer for those talks as they go on this fall. And here's our general family, prayer of wisdom, patience, insight, and protection spiritually. These are some key things for us, for Carolyn and I, as we carry on in this ministry. You as a church, big picture, if you want to be a world Christian, thinking about things globally, I'm just going to give you some quick hints before we close, Pastor Barry. Here's one. Stay informed about global news. Don't get depressed by the news. Some people say, I don't even turn on the TV anymore because the news is so depressing. Turn that news opportunity into prayer opportunity. When they start talking about Syria and the bombings that are taking place between Syria and Turkey, pray for the church in Turkey that exists there. Pray for the church, the Christian church that exists in Syria. Go on a short-term mission, whether it's with your local church or with our denomination or some other good organization. Take time to do that. Set some money aside to do that. Visit a missionary. We have people, Carolyn and I would say, oh, we went to Portugal for holidays. And they never thought to try to phone to say hello or anything. And missionaries like to be blessed. If you're close to them and you're traveling on your holidays, take time to give them a call. Adopt a missionary. Rather than support a missionary, I like the term. Somebody said, why don't you adopt a missionary? You know, you put them on your fridge and you pray for them and you send support, whether financial or in letters. It's a good way to do. Pray. Adopt a people group. All of those 6,900 the Portuguese, I like it. We went to a missions conference one time and they took a great big roll of paper. It was about this wide and someone had written those 6,900 groups that needed, and they called it the roll of shame. And they rolled it down the middle of the church. And then they told everybody to come to the middle and lay your hand on beside one of those names and pray right now for that group. And they call it the roll of shame. I was challenged by that. Witness and pray. That's how you become a world Christian. Make a new Canadian friend. Somebody that's new to Canada. Give extra. Promise to give beyond. Oswald Smith at People's Church challenged the church years ago about making a promise bigger than what you think you can give so that God can help you give even more. I'm a missionary. I'm not supposed to talk about money, I know. But I think it's important. It's not because I need more money. I think the cause of Jesus Christ needs more money. And it will. Some of you are in the stage of life thinking about your wills. And, you know, does your will reflect what your core values were? Is the gospel represented there in your will? Have you left some of your will, some of your finances to causes that reflect the importance of the cause of Jesus Christ? Now read a book on missions. Those are some of the things I think that would help us all be better world missions and worldly minded in the positive sense of being able to follow Jesus. Pastor Barry, why don't you come and we'll pray together to close off.
How many of you know that you support a BAMR?
Who's a BAMR?
We have the last couple that we supported recently are BAMRs. They have gone to a country from Canada, learned the language, and set up a business. They now have 5 Christians that they led to the Lord that work with them, a business of about 50 people now. It's interesting, his company, I'm not going to tell you the country, his company actually won the award for the Europe area and beyond for the company with the greatest integrity. Now, he didn't tell us that. His wife told us that. He would not tell us that. But yes, so the tremendous opportunity. This young couple from Bayview Glen grew up, had a mission heart, and said, we have some skills. If we learn the language and can do this, we might be able to develop our own business there and use that as a launching pad. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Ken knew them and hooked this up, gal that wants to go to a country with them. So, Lord, we thank you that you have the big picture in mind all the time. And yet, you have each of us as individuals in mind too. We can't fathom that. How great you are as a God, and yet how personal you are with us as individuals. We thank you for Ken and Carolyn. We thank you for the girls. We pray, Father, that you would bless this cross-training global as it develops, that it'll be more and more effective for mission agencies and others and the training cross-culturally of people so that the gospel might get out. We pray for that roll of shame, those 6,900 ethnic groups that do not know who Jesus Christ is. Be with people like Steve and Sonia Detweiler as they train multiple groups of people to get the Bible into the language of others who do not have it as yet. Thank you for the privilege that's been ours to be educated on what God is doing, to realize that God is on the move in our world and that he is accomplishing great things. And Father, I pray that we might be part of that. Help us to see beyond ourselves. Help us to see with your eyes a world indeed, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just wanted to mention we have a table out in the foyer, and we have information there about cross-training. If anybody here has family members or yourself interested in our program, as well as a list if you want to sign up for our email notices information.
And let Ken and Carolyn get back.